Good morning, everybody. Oops, what a big echo. Hello. That's nice. Thank you. Do you want me to sing? Sure. It's 9 o'clock, so we'll start. Kurt, would you like to make some introductory remarks?
Very few. To those of you that got up early, thank you very much for coming. I'm sure more people will join as the session goes on. Because it's very important work and it's generated a lot of interest. What's being presented today are two things. One is the results of your collective work on the IDN variant issues report. It's really a very important, meaningful, and significant amount of work. Many community members contributed many, many hours, traveled, contributed facilities, meeting spaces, people's times to putting in the work to develop this report. It's the culmination of six separate variant working groups and then the integration of all that work into this final issues report. So we're going to have a description of the results of that report first, and then we're going to discuss the plan for going forward next. And the issues report did its job. It lays out all the issues before us, and they're not low in number, and they're not simple. And so the project plan seeks to address each one of the issues raised by the community, all the community members that worked on the report. And so the plan for going forward is very comprehensive, anticipating some of the comments. The plan for going forward is not only comprehensive, it takes a good bit of time and a good bit of ICANN's or someone else's money. Actually, all of ICANN's money is someone else's, right? So we're interested in getting your feedback on it. If you think the timeline's too long, we're interested in getting your ideas for accelerating it, either now or later. We're marching down the path, continuing to do work. We can continue to talk about how that work is prosecuted and the timeline for doing that. So thanks in advance for participating in this, and thanks in arrears for all the work you've put into this. And it's my honor to present Mr. Dennis Jennings, who himself personally has done so much work on this project, calling from the middle of the night in Ireland to the project team on a weekly basis and all days in between. So thanks very much, Dennis, and thanks to the team.
Thank you very much indeed, Kurt. Thank you for those words. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have had the opportunity to provide some leadership to this project. But the real kudos go to, as Kurt has just said, to the teams, the community teams who did the work, and to the ICANN staff team who did extraordinary work in very short periods of time to get out the report. Okay. Let's bring up the first slide. Oh, I've got the clicker. Thank you. So this is our agenda here. And I suppose I should preface all this by saying that although we're on a path which we all hope will lead to the delegation of IDN variant TLDs, there is no assumption in all this that that will be the outcome. There's no guarantee that we will be able to address all the issues. So it's just an alert that there's no certainty that we'll come to the end and delegate IDN variant TLDs. But we do know that there is a huge demand out there, and therefore we're doing as much work, the community will do the work, to try and get there, as you'll see. So we hope to spend about 10 minutes just looking at the overview of the project and the goals. 25 minutes on the work that's been done and the report that's been issued, and I hope that everybody has read the report. It's difficult. It's head-wrecking stuff, but it's important to actually read it, because regrettably, this session is not a tutorial on variants. It's not a tutorial on code points. If that's necessary, we happily organize that, but this is all about presenting the report and getting feedback and then the next steps. Next steps is the third item, and then discussion and questions, a lot of time for that. So what's the overall, just review this, it's a long-standing request from the community to have IDN variant TLDs and IDN variant TLDs, and it's subject of a board discussion and a board direction to develop an issues report on the subject, and there's the link there. And the integrated issues report is the outcome of that work. So let's get down to the details. Naila, can I ask you to take over and to tell us about the work that's been done?
Yes, thank you, Dennis. So good morning, everyone, and thank you for coming to this session. We thought we'd start out this morning by giving maybe a little bit of an introduction on what was done in the last year. So as Dennis mentioned, this was a long-standing request from the community. We started the work, we officially launched the work at the beginning of the year, I think around March or so of last year. We put out a paper that said, you know, here's our approach, and the approach was to do six case studies. As a matter of fact, it was five case studies of five different scripts, and then the community gave us input that we should probably add a sixth one based on need, and the community also specifically helped us refine the Devanagari case. So those two steps, the first set of arrows represent the six case studies that ran from about May until October of last year. And then we went into the integration of the information that we learned from the six case studies, and that was phase two, the integrated issues report. And the outcome was in December, the final document. The way the six case studies were selected, again, were based on the consultation with the community, and we identified Arabic, Chinese, Cyrillic, Devanagari, Greek, and Latin. The teams were community teams that were at least about 15 to 20, I believe, to each team. Some teams had less, some teams had more. They had expertise in different areas that we were looking for in order to have a comprehensive report. So we had DNS, registry, registrar, linguistics, security, policy, IDNA, and expertise on each team. And the teams worked very hard. We met periodically. We had phone calls. We had, with most of the teams, we had face-to-face meetings. And the outcome of that work was an issues report with issues about variants for that script. And then we took all of that input. So the teams, again, the teams from the community ran the studies and did most of the work, really, and the staff did the support, the logistical support. What we did is we took all of that and around October of last year, and we synthesized all of that into the integrated issues report. And the report really looked at putting together an analysis. This is the integrated issues report, putting together an analysis of the unique issues to each script, the common issues between the scripts. And it tried to highlight, based on the information presented in the reports, what further work needs to happen. And with that, I'll pass it over to my colleague, Karen, to talk about the specifics of the report.
Thank you very much. So what you see in front of you here is an outline of what's contained in the report. Most of the issues are discussed in sections 4, 5, and 6. There's also some project background and some description of the types of variant cases that were identified in the case study reports. And then also at the end, there's a discussion of some additional work, which we'll talk about. So in writing a report about variant issues, it seemed useful to define what we mean by variant. But when we, as we worked with the case study teams and looked at the discussions that had occurred on this subject previously, it became clear that there really wasn't a commonly agreed definition for the term variant. It was used to describe a number of different concept. And so while the report does continue to use the term variant in a loose sense, it tries to be specific where that's mentioned about with an example of the type of case that's intended. And it's recommended that when these issues are discussed, when variant is used, it's used with more specific information to make it clear what's being referred to. And just to clarify on the scope of the report, the issues that are identified in the report concern IDN variants at the top level. So we're talking about issues concerning IDN variant TLDs. And then while there are variant issues at the second level that registries deal with, and a few of those are referenced in the report, really the intention is to focus on the issues at the top level. The diagram here on the screen is a rough classification of the variant cases that were identified by the case study teams. It's not perfect, but we tried to take all the cases that were mentioned in the reports and classify them into some sets that would help to inform the discussion. So we'll go through some of these types. The basic distinction that we arrived at was a distinction between whole string variants and code point variants. The code point variant uses the Unicode code points and refers to some sort of relationship or linkage between code point A and code point B, or between a code point and a sequence, or between a set of code points. With whole string variants, the relationship is between a whole string. So you'd be looking at whole string B and whole string A and identifying some sort of linkage or relationship between those strings, often in the context of those strings meaning to a particular language community. So a number of the issues that were identified when thinking about how variant TLDs could be relevant to the root zone, there are two elements that would need to be established to have rules for how you can establish what are variant labels. How do you tell if you have one or not? So the two elements that were discussed were the code point repertoire for the root zone and then the label generation rules, which I'll talk about in the following slides. Establishing the code point repertoire for the zone, which in this case is the root zone, would include establishing the universe of which code points are permissible and which are to be excluded. Some of the issues with establishing the code point repertoire include how do you decide which code points are going to be selected for inclusion, what sort of expertise is needed to make those decisions, and then how changes are handled if a code point is introduced or becomes valid or invalid. How does that repertoire handle changes? And then the second piece that's needed for establishing variant labels is the what we've called the label generation rules. This would include rules for how you tell which code points are to be considered variants of one another, variant code points. And it would also provide rules for what status could be applicable to labels containing those code points. And I'll talk about the statuses shortly. Issues associated with creating the label generation rules, there are a number of ways or processes that could be followed to arrive at those rules, which is a big consideration. Issues having to do with, what expertise is required here, which label states are going to be permissible, what flexibility should there be with use of code points with different script properties. So So assuming that you can establish variant labels, the next set of issues that we considered in the report was the treatment of variant labels. We identified six possible states that labels could have with regard to a zone, and obviously the user experience and the impact, the operational impact on parties using them is dependent on which sorts of states are used. A theme running out throughout the report was the user experience considerations. And we talked about or considered in the report many different types of users. It was raised with us in some of the discussions that people have, users have different capabilities with regards to a particular script, from, you know, very familiar, uses the script all the time, to someone who has no familiarity with that particular script. So you can consider the range of different users with that in mind, as well as the different user roles. So we considered someone like a system administrator or a network operator would have different needs or a different experience in working with variant TLDs than someone, for example, doing law enforcement or security work or an end user. So looking at the kind of big picture, there's a little bit of a tension in the report that's reflected in the report between the great interest in creating functionalities and expanding the use of IDNs at the top level, and the really difficult issues that are raised by what's trying to be achieved. The risks, if you think about security and stability, which is another thing that's discussed, you know, throughout in all of the issues in the report. You know, the risks in that and in user experience are significant if this is not carefully done. And then the costs are significant as well in creating a really, sound approach to this. So it's important to weigh the risks and costs and take those into account to inform the decisions on future work that will be done in this area. So I'll turn it over to Francisco Arias, who will take you through the potential next steps. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. So Naila and Karen explained the first two phases of the report that were focused on the issues related to IDN variant TLDs. Is that better? Okay. I was saying the first two phases are related to identifying issues. Now I'm going to talk about the what comes next. We are identifying in the issues report several potential projects that will need to be taken in order to be able to have solutions for the IDN variant TLD question. Currently, the plan for these eight projects is in public comment. The public comment period ends on 18th March, which is next Sunday. Because of the new rules of the public comment that started this year, we will have a reply period until 8 April. That provided there is at least one comment received during the comment period. Now I'm going to explain a little bit about the different projects that we have identified in the issue report. The first one is the label generation rule set tool. This is basically the IDN variant tables enhanced. The idea here is to have a unified format that will support the different things that we saw registries are using to identify the variants. For example, when we were talking with the Arabic case study, The Saudi registry was explained that they have variants depending on the position. That's a feature of the Arabic script, which depending on the position of the call point, you have a different glyph, a different shape, a different form of the call point. So the current IDN tables that are out there do not have support for that. They develop their own solution, and the idea is, as I was saying, to have a unified solution that can support those kind of things. So this project is not really dependent on having variants in the root. This project is about having these tables that can be used by any registry in any level of DNS. And it's mostly about developing this specification. We are planning to have it as an RFC in the ITF. Kim is the author of this draft that is already out there, and some of you might have already seen it. We are here leveraging on the fact that some of us already go to ITF meetings and other meetings like the regional registry meetings, where you will usually go there to talk with the registries and get input. And you can see here the estimated cost for the remaining of this fiscal year and the next fiscal year. In the issue report, we identified a series of feasibility studies that are needed to be done in order to determine which type of variants or the states of variants are needed. One of those is project number 3, which is examining the feasibility of whole stream variants. As Karen explained it before, this is one type of variant. In this case, was requested by one of the case studies, the Greek case study. In that case, they were asking to have what we call a dialectal variant, meaning if you have two different dialects of the same language, they wanted to have two strings that represent two words in each of the dialects that by that language committee was considered to have the same meaning. So this would be one type of whole stream variant that they would like to have. So in this project, we are trying to define where it is feasible to have this type of variants in the root. And in the report, we are identifying several issues with having this type of variants. For example, you will need to identify the dictionary or dictionaries that you are going to need. And imagine, for example, the case of languages that are used in many regions or many countries around the world. It may be really difficult to be able to decide which dictionary to use. And also the fact that you would probably need to do it for every language in the world is not something that seems so easy to do in a practical matter. Other of the feasibility studies that we are considering is project number 5, which is the feasibility of mirroring. Mirroring is probably the state that is most appealing to many people that are interested in variants. This is the idea of having two namespaces to map to one another. So, for example, you will have a name in a string in simplified Chinese and a string in traditional Chinese, and you want those two namespace to map to one another. So if you, for example, access a website in the simplified Chinese domain name, you will, or the traditional Chinese domain name, you will get to the same web page. That would be one way to see it. So the challenge here is that even if we were able to solve the problem in the DNS, for which there are already proposed solutions like using DNAME, for example, which, by the way, we don't yet have that in the root, so maybe something needs to happen before we add that in the root. There is also another option, which will be the parallel provision in DNS, which is you have the two zones delegated, but the registry makes sure that the content of those two zones is kept the same. But the issue goes beyond that, because you need to have mirroring work in the applications, and this basically means all the applications out there. So you need the mirroring to work in the web, for example, in email, FTP, any other application that you can think of. And it's not really that simple. For example, in web, you need to configure the web server to know the names by which it's known in order to be able to respond to that. And something similar needs to happen in email. There are certainly some protocols that do not require that, but at least the two most common, web and email, need to be configured in order to respond to know the names that they are known by. And you can see there the cost that we are considering for this study. This is basically we are thinking will be conducted by two persons, two experts, DNS expert, and I cannot remember the other expert that we considered. But basically to have this study, and we will be publishing this for public comment and have input even in the plan first and then the study itself. There is a third feasibility study that we are considering to have, which is examining the user experience implications of active variant TLDs. By active variant TLDs, we mean basically two states, the mirror state, which I already mentioned before, and the other is the common delegated state, let's say. This delegated state basically means to have two strings, again, for example, the simplified and traditional Chinese versions of the strings, delegated to the same entity, but without the requirement to have mirroring in place. So in this case, we already know this could work from a technical point of view, because basically that's what we have now. We delegate TLDs, and there is no requirement to have mirroring. The question here is, what are the implications in the user experience? What will the users be confronted from when they see these two strings that they may think will give you the same result, but they may not give you the same result? So this project, we are considering to have a model similar to what we use in the issues report. We will have a series of volunteers from the community complemented with consultants that would help drive these studies and have input from the volunteers. So hopefully at the end we will have a definition on what are the implications of having these two types of variant TLDs. So once we are we pass these feasibility studies, the three that I mentioned before, we will then we're envisioning to have a board decision on what types of variants and what states of variants should be implemented in the route. Once that decision is done, and we are planning for that to happen by the end of the year, then we will start the work on defining the process to determine the variants, or what we call the label generation rules of process for the route zone. This process, we are also thinking on building on the same model that we use for the issue report. We'll have a group of volunteers from the community, also complemented with experts that we will contract to help us develop this process. And I should mention that we are considering this to be two projects, basically. One is the developing of this process, and the second part is the actual filling out of the tables, let's say. That process, that second project, which is identified here as Project 2.2, it's at this point it's too far in the future. We don't know what the process will be, so we don't have an estimate of the resources that will be needed to in order to have this done. In any case, the current plan is that this will happen in the fiscal year 2014. So we still have time to develop that. Similarly to the project two that I mentioned, we have project four, which is related to visual similarity. As Karen mentioned before, there was no agreement during the issues phase on what a variant is. So what we have basically is many types of variants, and visual similarity was one of the types of variants that people identified during the process. There was also observations of how this visual similarity process could be enhanced. For example, to use these IDN tables, which you will have identified the characters that are considered to be visually similar, so you will know from start which are considered visually similar, so you will hopefully have a more deterministically, a better outcome on the visual similarity process. Again, this is divided in two different projects. The first one is to develop the process itself, and the second part, which is to implement it. The implementation part is also too far in the future. We are unable at this point to determine what resources will be needed. And I should mention that the developing of the process, we are also thinking to use the same model as the issues phase, having volunteers complemented by experts. And finally, we have a couple of projects that are also in the implementation phase. So for projects 7 and 8, we don't have yet a budget. We don't have an estimated on how many resources will be needed to carry on these projects. Project 7 is basically to update the GTLD and CCTLD programs with any changes that are needed in order to support the label generation rule set and the visual similarity process. The Project 8, finally, is about to update the other ICANN and IANA operations and processes that are already there. For example, I work for the in ICANN, I work in the area of the GTLD registry liaison. That area deals with GTLDs in day-to-day basis. So, for example, we'll need to update the, or have a CRM system that supports the concept of having a set of GTLDs, which will be considered variants, and treat them as a thing, as a set, not two separate strings. Same thing will have to be done in IANA, and maybe there is something to be done in the root zone management process, how the zone file is generated in the root, etc. This is a visualization of how the different phases, how we see the different phases. As I mentioned, we have the feasibility studies that we are planning to happen in this calendar year. Then we will have a decision point at the end of 2012 in which we are proposing that the board will decide what types and states of variants will be implemented in the route. And then we will have the phase in which the process are developed pretty much during 2013. And then, again, another decision point to adopt this process and then the implementation phase. This is pretty much the same information just with the different projects listed in each of the phases. And with this, I...
Thank you very much indeed, team. So... You've had a quick run through the work that's done, a quick run through the projects, and now the timeline is in front of you. Now that's what we have to say. Now we're really interested in what you have to say. So the rest of this session, which can be as long as the time we have available, is in response to queries or discussion points that any of you would like to raise. We have a microphone in the middle there. Do we have a roving mic as well, or is it expecting everybody to come up to the mic? I think everybody come up to the mic. So I'll continue chatting like this until someone gets up and asks a question.
Well, I didn't want to listen to Dennis too long, did you? Chuck Gomes from VeriSign. First of all, let me compliment all of those who prepared the consolidated report, plus all of those that made this huge contributions to make that happen. You're right, Dennis. It wasn't an easy read, but I did make it through it. At least the main parts in the front, and I think it's in section 5 or 6, somewhere in there. You did a really good job of talking about all the different types of implications, and I appreciated that. It was really well done. But one of them had to do with confusing similarity review in the new GTLD process. And obviously, that's just about to happen. So I'm guessing that not too much of what's in your report can be taken into consideration in this first round, and that's understandable. But do you see any? I guess do any of you see any problems with that could occur because of that fact? Now I know that IDN variants aren't going to be allowed in the first round. That's all really clear. But do any of you anticipate any issues that might resolve? Because a lot of the work's going to happen after the evaluation of the applications in the first round, because there's a huge task ahead in that regard. Just curious if you have any comments in that regard. Thanks.
Thank you, Chuck. You're right. This work on enhancing visual similarity in the IDN space is future work, and it's not going to be available for the first round of the new GTLD program. And it's beyond my competence or the scope of the project to comment on anything about the current processes in the new GTLD program. Unless any of the team want to comment, I don't think that's really for us to... any member of the team want to leap in? No. So we know there is an issue, but this project is not aimed at addressing that. I should say there's more than similarity at issue here. It's confusability. I had a long discussion during the week with Lyman Chapin, and he has some questions. I don't think Lyman is here. He has some questions about how useful the visual similarity work will be to address what is really the underlying issue of confusability. But that's a discussion for later time. We also have people, by the way, on remotely, so we will be taking questions remotely for anybody out there who wants to raise a question. But we have another question or comment, please.
My name is Werner Staub. I'm talking about the project that we support in CORE, where I work for, which is .Quebec. Quebec, as most people here know, is written in the French language, which is the language of the province, with an accent on the E. And it is written without an accent on the E if you cannot put it, or, for instance, in English. It shows a very frequent problem that we have. Not only are variants sometimes needed for writing things correctly, they're also sometimes needed for writing things incorrectly, because the incorrect way is the only one that is available. I mean, Spanish speakers know that, French speakers know that. When they type something, they very often do not have the time or the keyboard, whatever it takes, to type the correct decorated string. Now, in the case of .Quebec, for instance, we face a situation where applying for .Quebec the wrong way, it's the wrong string, is going to be the correct string, because that's the only one available, for .Quebec once it is actually running. And by not having the IDN string available at the same time, essentially we're teaching the population around the world, everybody, we're teaching people, don't you ever use IDN because it will not work. Now, for that to be taken back, it's going to take many, many years. It may even be impossible. If you look in Japan, which is one of the countries that has had the problem of not being able to write its own language in many, many computer applications for many years, people have become so convinced that it is impossible to write the native language that there's even no demand. So if you look at the IDN strings proposed for Japan, you would be surprised. There are none, or almost, because the population is convinced that it doesn't work. It's not possible to get it back. So there's a sense of urgency. We have to do something, possibly after this round, you know, in between, to see if we can, during the process, you know, over the rest of 2012 and early 2013, address these cases where the IDN could still be added to the string that is actually currently applied for.
Thank you. There are many interesting thoughts behind that. First thing I'd like to say, then I'll get some of the team to comment, is, of course, domain names aren't words. Domain names aren't part of a language, although the user perceives them as words. They are mnemonics. And it's amazing what you can achieve with 37 characters, which is the ASCII set. And yes, you were right that if you only have the 37 characters, 37 characters in the LDH ASCII set, people get used to that, and that's part of the user experience. And you're right that people will think that that's the only way, the way things that can be done. In an ideal world, we'd have done this work a long time ago, so that wouldn't arise. But the reality is we are where we are, and I know it's a terribly silly thing to say, but we are where we are. And these are some of the user experience consequences that that arise. Now, in the specific, who in the team wants to remind us exactly what the rules are about stating that you have a variant in the new GTLD program? Karen?
So, thank you. What it says in the applicant guidebook is that variant strings, if the applicant believes that they have some, can be declared in the application, which means that they're put on a list. They're not delegated or given to the applicant, that there's no right conveyed by having declared the variant in that application. But it's essentially set aside until such time as the a variant management mechanism is worked out for the top level.
Thank you, Karen. Have we any questions remotely, Naila?
Not yet, thank you.
Okay, you'll flag to me if there are. Next question, please.
Yeah, my name is Wei Wang from CINIC, and I'm now also the co-secretary of CDNC. And CDNC is the Chinese domain name consortium. The CDNC take in charge of the coordination of Chinese regulation about the registration and application. And the members include CNIC, TWNIC, HKRC, which is .HK, and SGNIC, CONEC, and affiliates PR, and CORE, etc. And we CDNC appreciate that the ICANN set up the variant project and try to find a universal solution to the...
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm having a little difficulty hearing you. Could you speak a little closer to the microphone?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, the CDNC appreciate that I can set up the variant project and trying to find a universal solution to the variant TODs. According to the readiness and the experience about the Chinese CCTOD, and we'd like to see the implementation of Chinese variant TOD be moved forward as soon as possible. Well, actually, I also joined the Chinese variant report last year in 2011, and the Chinese variant, the definition of the Chinese variant has been clarified in that report, and it is also established 10 years ago that there's no overlapping issues regarding to the Han character for Chinese, Japanese, and Koreans. So that means the... because of the Chinese variants have the same pronunciation and the same meaning, the the Chinese speaking users, they regard the Chinese variants as the same and regard them should be interchangeable. And I think that's why the CDN is involved in the publication of RFC 3743 and 4713 to try to, and the CDNC member have been providing the second level Baron domain registration service over 10 years ago based on these RFCs, and we started providing the Baron domain name registration under .China and .Taiwan and .Hong Kong since 2009. And to date, no disputes are received concerning the Chinese variant confusion. So because of the readiness and Chinese CCTOD operational experience, we think that the Chinese users' priority expectation are the first, the RDL and its variant labels should belong to the same registrant. And second, the simplified Chinese form and the traditional Chinese form of the applied for RDL should be resolvable simultaneously or not resolvable at all. I think and I'd like to take .China, we call it .Zhongguo, simplified, both simplified and traditional, for example. Currently, we have about over 320,000 domain names registration under .Zhongguo, and among which over 77% have variant forms, and almost 20% of the DNS queries for .Zhongguo are for traditional Chinese forms in China mainland. So I quoted so many, the data and the some issues that we have clarified in a Chinese variant report, just to express that we think based on all these experience and effects, we want to see the implementation of Chinese variant TOD be moved forward as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, and we fully understand that. Rather than respond to every question, I'm going to take a few questions because I'd like it to be more of a dialogue between the members of the community rather than a question-answer, because we're really here to learn what you have to tell us and to integrate that into possibly a revised project plan or set of projects. So, but I will not forget your question, and we'll come back to it. Next question, please.
Sure. Suzanne Wolf, and I think I'm going to help you out a little bit because I have more a comment than a question. First of all, I wear a number of hats around here, and first of all, as a member of the board who advocated very strongly for this project to happen, I want to thank everybody for all the hard work, and I'm really pleased with the report and the results and that it's in front of the community. When I first looked at this set of issues, one of the things that became clear was that it was being, there was an assumption within the community that there was a set of technical problems here, and that all that really had to happen was that the technical people had to go solve the technical problem. And frankly, I'm extremely pleased. It was basically step zero to question that, and as far as how we think about the set of issues. So I'm very happy with that. But another of the hats I wear is as a technical participant in the IETF among those technical people. And shifting to that for just a second, I have an observation about the feasibility studies, particularly regarding the technical feasibility of mirroring. We looked in some depth at that within the IETF, within the people that are best equipped to think about that, at least with respect specifically to DNS, and reached a number of preliminary conclusions about why it might be not only extremely difficult, but to a great extent, many of the things that people want, and want for good reasons, are not just difficult, but are impossible. Because human beings aren't like computers. Human beings need context. And the things that people are thinking about when they talk about variants and meaning and words and all of those things really are not, can't be created in the net. It's inside people's heads, which is kind of a long-winded way of saying I have no objection to doing the feasibility studies, but people do need to be prepared for the possibility that the outcome of the feasibility studies is going to be that at least some of what they want is not, in fact, feasible.
Thank you very much indeed. And obviously, we would very much like to involve the technical community so that we're not doing feasibility studies on things that people already know are infeasible. So that may shorten some of those studies, but thank you for that. Next question.
Yes, so Thomas Norton here, and let me just back up to the previous speaker who unfortunately has left the room. But on the example of like .Quebec with two different spellings for the E with the accent without, my at least my sense is that that's not really considered a variant. And I would actually welcome a little feedback from the team here, whether they agree or disagree, because one of the dangers of this space here is when we broaden the scope of what people are trying to do kind of well beyond what we even think of as being variants.
Thank you. Francisco, do you want to respond to that?
Just quickly add something. The Latin case study, which was the first phase of the issues phase, said in the report that they recommended no variants for the Latin script, which is pretty much, I guess, in the sense of what you are saying. They were saying it's better not to complicate things in the Latin space because we already have a subset of the Latin script that is, which is ASCII, that is being used, and it's probably not a good idea to add complication in that space. I'm not sure if that's what you are referring to.
So I guess my answer is it is not, and I'll be a little bit blunt here perhaps, is that sounds to me a little bit like a wishy-washy answer where you're saying, well, it might complicate it, let's not do it. I mean, this is, I think, a little more clear-cut than that. Is the case of Quebec with EU, the accent, and not considered a variant? Because my impression is that in some contexts it might be, in other contexts it's not. And with a variant, my impression of at least a single character variant is that they're always, kind of an equivalent. It's not like for some words, yes, and some words, no. Right?
Okay, I guess, let me see if I understand what you're saying. Yes, the an E with an accent will be a variant in some cases and in others not. I could say I'm a native Spanish speaker. I will not think that in Spanish you could consider the E with an accent and the E without an accent as variants. But maybe in other languages it will be. I think that was one of the reasons why the Latin case study was saying you better not have variants in Latin because there are so many languages involved here that you cannot come up with a single definition of variant for the Latin script. But in any case, in the report, in the stage where we are with variant TLDs, we are not. We don't have any tables defining what are the variants for each of the code points. These are far in the future, as you can see here. They are in the last phase, the implementation phase. That's where we could have a definition, and that's depending on the process, whether E with accent and E with an accent could be considered a variant. But what it seems now, it's, let's say, not very likely, I would say.
Andrew, can I invite you to comment?
Thank you. So I just want to expand on this a little bit, because one of the problems with this term variant, I think you are pointing to it, is that it's a little bit plastic. The point of one of the points that we tried to make in this report is that because the root zone is a shared linguistic context for everybody in the entire world, the rules have to be consistent whenever you have a candidate variant relationship. So the candidate variant relationship in this case would be an E without any accent and an E with an accent aigu. The problem in this case is that a lot of people who are using E's don't actually use the accent aigu. That isn't the kind of variant relationship that they have. So what you would need in order to support variants in Latin in the root zone is a set of rules that says every time you have an E, here are all of the other possible combinations that you could have there. And that is the variant relationship that you would have. Some of those relationships are in fact inimical to other uses of other linguistic communities, and that's actually what the problem is. So that's the reason that the Latin study says it would be a mistake to to implement variants for Latin in the root zone. This doesn't mean that in a zone that is directed primarily to French speakers, it would be wrong to have a relationship between an E without an accent on it and you know, the accent aigu and the accent grave in some other cases. It might be legitimate to do that in a different zone, but in the root zone, everybody has to participate, and everybody's problem has to be addressed. And sometimes the answer to that is because we cannot satisfactorily do this in a way that is technically feasible. It's logically possible, but it's technically infeasible. Therefore, we shouldn't do it at all. This is the same reason why, despite my sympathy, and I'm speaking personally here, despite my sympathy with the concerns of, in particular, the Han-using community, with the pace of change here, the problem is that we need at least a framework for a set of rules by which we would understand how to process those variants, and that framework needs to work for other linguistic communities too. So the fact that Han users are ready to go isn't actually enough to do this in the root zone in any kind of systematic way. And it's that systematic way that is the problem. From my view, and again I'm speaking personally, we could do this on a case-by-case basis, but that just turns it into an endless political struggle, right? Every case has to be looked at. So what we really need is some kind of mechanism. And it might be that the mechanism could be developed more quickly for Han characters, but we need a framework that actually would accommodate these other cases as well before we're ready to do that. And I think that that is one of the projects that is on this list. If we think that that framework development is something that's really urgent, maybe it needs to be moved elsewhere in the project plan. I don't know. I don't have an opinion about that. But if people have an opinion, it would be nice to hear it.
Thank you, Andrew. I think you've articulated very well some of the things that we're going to struggle with and some of the concerns the community have when seeing this timeline. I understand we have a remote question, or a question from a remote participant. Naila.
Thank you, Dennis. We have a question from David Cohn, and it says, several existing registries intend on applying for transliterations of their existing GTLDs. Do the findings discussed here have any effect over these plans, assuming, for the lack of a better word, only one other / additional version is needed and wanted by the existing registry?
Yeah, who wants to take that question? Francisco? Andrew? Kim? Francisco has leaned forward, so go ahead.
So, translation or transliteration of strings is another type of whole string variants. Since you cannot do any of those code point by code point, you need to consider the whole string as a whole. And you also probably need to consider some language background in order to do the translation or the transliteration. So this will could be considered as part of the whole string variant feasibility study.
Thank you. I have to say, speaking personally, I'm skeptical that we'll ever find a deterministic way of dealing with whole string variants, but we need to look at it. Andrew, did you want to add anything to that? No. Okay, next question, please.
Thank you, Dennis. This is Edmund here. And I guess as a long-term participant in IDN policies and technologies, I wanted to congratulate the team and I applaud the team on a very, very good set of case studies and a very nice framework for that was put forward in terms of the integrated report. I think going back to actually before that, I want to say that it feels a lot, this morning in some of the discussions in the last month or so, feels a lot like deja vu. So a lot of these things have been talked about for a decade. And I think, I'm glad that we're here in this forum and be able to address it and go into an implementation mode in terms of at least I think the direction we're headed is to implement. And in what Andrew just said, I think is very important. But I would like to think about the whole process, I mean the whole project, as a practical implementation more so than a theoretical approach. And the reason why I say that is because of the decade-long discussion, there is a critical community consensus that I think was the basis of the success of the VIP team so far. And that is that we split it out into different case study teams and different script and languages. There are certain things that are unique to certain groups of languages or groups of scripts. And if we try to lump it all together, I think we're looking at a project that will never end. And that is not practical, I think. And if we have a mind towards implementation, then we should come back to practicality and look at what, as I forgot who's mentioned, cost, benefit, and risks. It's a balance. It's always a balance. And I think how we balance it, the community already, in terms of the discussion of more than a decade-long discussion, already has a community consensus, and that is that we split it out into certain components. Not certain components, certain languages and scripts. And I think right now what was found in the integrated report, I think is very enlightening in that the framework, as Andrew said, a universal framework, is already there. The project plan, I think the 8 projects, that is the framework. That is the framework for each language or script to move forward on. And if we, you know, basically the suggestion, and I think I urge the team and I wonder if anyone else from the community would add to that, is that we can use what has successfully been created from these case studies into an integrated report, which is a universal framework, and proceed based on scripts and languages, or groups of scripts and languages. And I think that will lead us into practical implementation. And from what I hear just now from Wang Wei of CDNC, 20% of the queries to the IDM variant TLD for .china is for the variant TLD. That is a significant number. That shows significant need from the community. And we cannot and we should not deny that. I think that is really what the team needs to focus on, and especially going forward with the project plan. And I think splitting it up and contained, and you have to balance risks. I understand that there are risks, you know, cross scripts, there are different types of issues, but we have to balance risk in terms of technical risks, as well as Andrew mentioned, political risks, as well as users. Ultimately, I think this is done for end users, and 20% of the users are using variant TLDs today. So I think that is really a very important aspect that the team should look at. Thank you.
Thank you, and I agree fully with you. But, and I'll hand over to Francisco and Andrew. First of all, a top level question. Yes, there's been a lot of discussion about this, but I don't believe this is the first time that a timeline for addressing and resolving these issues has been put up. So I think there's been huge progress. I know there's frustration that this looks like a long timeline, and I know there's a great need. But there are some things that we need to comment on, and I repeat, I think, about the root zone being a shared, unique resource, and in fact that dividing things by scripts doesn't quite work because what's required is more than one script as defined in IDNA 2000 in Unicode. Francisco, do you want to pick this up and explain why we think it's a little more complicated than that, and then maybe Andrew?
Sure. Thank you, Edmund. And I just want to say that we certainly understand what you're saying, the need for certain communities to have variant TLDs But we are also taking into account this is a shared resource, the root, and we need to take it into account. We need to see the big picture here. I must also say that we are not trying to, not use the model of the case studies. But there are some things that are common to all of the scripts or all of the case studies. For example, many of the case studies identify the need to have mirroring. You need to take a look at mirroring from a specific script point of view. That's the same need for everyone. So you can do the feasibility study about mirroring without taking into account the scripts because it's the same. Something like that is true for pre-exists about variants with and without mirroring the user experience. That's also something that was requested by, that is probably required by different scripts. And so you can take a look at that without independent of the script. The part that I think that is dependent on the script is the implementation part, which is the third phase here. For that, certainly, or more likely, we will need to have specific teams or specific solutions for each language or script community. Filling out the IDN tables is certainly something that probably the Chinese community would like to do by themselves, the Arabic community, and so on. We are thinking that should be done in the phase where the issues are specific to a language or a script community. But there are other parts in which the solutions need to be think for the big picture or where there are shared concerns.
Yes, please. Yeah. Make it. Okay. Let's have a bit right. more of a discussion
sure.
then.
Well, I guess it goes back to again risk, costs, and benefits. Right, and how you balance that? I understand that those issues and the specific issues that you said. And, you know, in fact, I go back to my both Thomas and Suzanne there that you know some of these issues perhaps like the whole string variant or like the mirroring, you know, could be dealt with very quickly. And also, if you look at the case study reports, each of them have you know varying degrees of their requests for that. So by splitting up into the scripts, groups of scripts languages, I think you know I'm not talking about particular. So if you do that, then some of these go away immediately, right? For example, Chinese you know mirroring goes away because we already have the experience right now. Whole string variant goes away. You know, we quickly cut down on the you know path towards implementation, and that is exactly why the community consensus was to you know separate it out. So I think yes, I understand that there are cross-cutting issues, but once you split it up, then some of these issues go away or make it easier for that that group of scripts or. That have that implications to move forward, and that I think is reason why that's more practical.
Thanks, Edmund. Andrew, do you want to pick up this thought about Naira? Yeah.
Thank you, Dennis. I think I would like to make just one small comment for Edmund and everyone is that part of putting this plan out for public comment is that we're really here. We're looking for feedback on one is. How can we work together to maybe improve the timeline? And two is how can we prioritize these projects too? Because we're here with the community, we want the same things. So we're asking for help for prioritizing. And if there's ways that we can talk about shortening that timeline, we certainly want that dialogue to happen.
Thanks, Anna. Andrew, do you want to comment about taking sort of a subset of this and moving it more rapidly through the process as a sort of parallel set of sub-projects.
Yes, thank you. So I just want to draw people's attention to section 4.2 of the integrated report because it actually talks about how you make decisions about the variant, about the label generation rules. And this was precisely my point earlier, that that's a framework that everybody's going to have to live with. The problem that we have here is that we've got a range of possible ways to do this. One of them is to just take the Unicode code properties and hang everything off them. We didn't actually do that in the project because the case study projects didn't didn't restrict themselves to always to the same script, and they didn't always cover the entire script. Frequently, they didn't have enough expertise to cover the entire script. In at least one case, of course, we had a group that was, strictly speaking, talking about Chinese, even though that script is shared with other languages. Now, there was some discussion of other languages, but the fact of the matter is it focused mostly on Chinese. So if we're not going to hang this all on the Unicode code properties, which is one extreme, we have a number of other decisions to make about how we're going to draw the boundaries around the code points that we're going to be working with. We need to make that decision, and we need to make that decision irrespective of the language community's, urgent, and I admit, I completely agree with you that it's an urgent and overdue need, and there's been a lot of discussion for a long period of time that has not been systematic enough to get us here. It's too bad that we're at this point of view, but this is the way the world is. And if we are going to just make ad hoc decisions, then we are going to cause problems for people who simply aren't in this room. There were only 6 case studies there. That is a tiny fraction of the users of the various languages in the world, and we haven't begun to cover all of those cases. Now, some cases are a little bit easier than others, but if the answer is we're not going to follow the Unicode code properties, then we need to make some other kind of decision, and we need to make that decision in a way that allows us to have a mechanism in the future so that when somebody else comes along and says, my community isn't represented here, we can say, but we have a mechanism for that. The alternative is that the root zone, the repertoire of code points that we allow in the root zone becomes subject to sort of annual political fights about who's going to get in here next. And that is irresponsible management of the root zone, in my opinion. Again, I don't speak for ICANN, so I can say these kinds of things. That would be really, really a serious mistake, in my opinion. We should not make that kind of decision. We should have a mechanism that we believe we can work with in the future. That doesn't mean that everybody's problem is always going to be solved in the future. There are always going to be compromises here because this is a shared system. And I'm not advocating that, sort of everybody has to wait until the last person on the internet is ready to go. That would be an insane answer. But we need at least the meta-level procedure by which we can say, I know how I'm going to do this subset of this thing, and we need to figure that out. That thing has to happen early. If the answer is that this project timeline doesn't get that thing moved early enough, then I think that is valuable feedback. But the community needs to make a decision about what compromises they're willing to put up with in the future when somebody comes and says, you did something that doesn't, that disadvantages me. Because at some point, we are going to be faced with that, and we need to face it.
Very quickly, and that is exactly why we have these this particular integration work, and this the first phase of VIP is supposed to answer that question, at least in my mind. And I do believe we already have the framework. Then that's the result of this first phase of VIP. We might disagree on that, but I do believe that we already have that framework based on the results here.
Thanks. Next question. Our comment.
Hello, this is Yanjing Li from Connect China. So we're applying for .zhengwu and .gongyi. That's 2 Chinese script streams accommodating the Chinese government communities and the public interest organizations communities. I think the need for peer dedication to treat the traditionalized Chinese and simplify the Chinese is really crucial here because our potential registrants, they treat equally the end users that is using traditionalized and simplified scripts. So there should be no bias when we are offering the services. We hope that ICANN can see the negative influence that might be exerted by delegating only traditionalized Chinese or simplified Chinese. So it is really frustrating that ICANN comes back to the technical issue time and time again. There is a consensus here for the case of .zhongguo, that is .china in its Chinese version, and for the Chinese community, even for the Asian community here. An applicable technical solution has been there for a long time, as you have just heard some of the data that provided by the CDNC. And the best practice for Chinese variant TLDs has already been developed and proved to be satisfying to the end users, to the Chinese communities. You have heard that repeatedly, I believe so. So here, once again, we are asking ICANN to give us priorities. We are asking you to prove that the case-by-case solution is not something you keep talking about, but not something you try to do. And especially, we would like you to give us a priority because we are really well prepared and we always have high expectations to you. We have high expectations for this for such a long time. We wait too long. And I hope you can give us a serious consideration about that. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. I think there's a common theme coming here that, and we fully understand it. And I think it'd be very helpful if we had some way of having a more intensive dialogue about whether in this framework it is possible to look at the Chinese case as a separate, an isolated case, but we certainly aren't going to do that on the fly here in this meeting. But we do, I mean, we do really, really understand the need, but the community also has to understand the responsibilities that we have here in not screwing up, and in particular, that's a technical term, and in particular, not unfairly disadvantaging other communities, because remember, there'll be an element of first come, first served here, and those communities who that use a script in their language may find that the way the code point variants are defined, it does not actually work for them, and they have a set of label generation rules which are inappropriate for the language. Now, of course, there's always going to be an element of first comes first served, and the judgment is how to get that reasonably right. Next question.
Yeah, thanks. So Thomas Norton again, and let me go back to, I think it's, is it recommendation three or project three, the single, the word, whole word? How come the numbers are not in order? It's okay. Examine the feasibility of whole stream variants. I guess let me express a bit of skepticism of this. And the question I have is, Is this being proposed for completeness, or is this being proposed because there's a real need and there's a strong belief that this is a valid form of what people consider to be variants? And also, is this work that is sort of somewhat independent of the other projects in the sense that there's not necessarily a dependency on you know, going through this and working it all out? I mean, I guess sort of going back to what Edmund is saying, I mean, I think that the thing that needs to be clear to everyone is what are the critical dependencies for moving forward in general, and what are things that are would be useful to do that would inform the debate but could be also be done kind of in parallel on the side but are not critical. And then you can ask the question like, well, maybe we should just wait and do those later. Maybe we should deprioritize them to make sure that we focus our resources on the critical dependencies.
Yes, absolutely. Francisco, do you want to comment on the whole string question?
So the reason why we have this project here is there was one case study that insisted that this was a need for them. However, in the report, we are raising serious concerns about the feasibility of having whole stream variants in the root. So I could say I hear what you're saying. I certainly think it's a very difficult case to make for whole stream variants in the root. But the report is an issues report. What we did is report what the community, what the case studies told us, and one of those told us that they needed host invariants. That's the reason why it's there.
Yeah. So let me just reiterate the point that I make is I think it would be useful to prioritize resources going forward where the critical dependencies are. With an eye of, you know, if you look at the big picture, you want to get to a point where we actually can start talking about seriously delegating certain languages or certain cases. What are the critical dependencies that have to be done before you can get to that point?
So let me just pick up that, sort of put it in more layman's terms. If we pulled out this project and did it later, would it make a difference? Right. Okay, that's a clear question that we will consider, look at, and address. Thanks. Nayala.
I have a comment from online. May I make the comment? And this comment, Francisco, is about the timeline, so maybe we can advance the slides. Okay, thank you. So the comment comes from Joseph Yee. He says, for several projects, studying the feasibility is not clear. I'm not asking to have it decided now, defined now, but defining criteria of what's feasible or not feasible helps not just timeline and priority, but help for the big picture for impact. So I think if I understand Joseph Yee's comment is we could probably maybe elaborate better on what we're proposing in studying the feasibility.
I think we need to elaborate. Although they are in the project plan, and people should read it. We elaborate the what the projects are, and the rationale for them, and we're looking for feedback on that. I think one of the things that arises from this is that I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but we certainly have had feedback that the closing of the comment period next Sunday is unreasonable and it needs to be extended. If anybody wants to make that comment from the community and read it into the record, that might be useful. And we are certainly considering that. Edmund, go on. I know you want to read that into the record. Go on.
I think most of the community feels that there was a four-week comment period that you put out, and it was right before the ICANN meetings and ICANN week. And I think at least. From the discussion that I had in the last couple of days with the community, I think an extension of at least about 21 days would be useful for us to give you constructive feedback.
Well, do people agree? I mean, I think that's a very reasonable request. But, does the community think that this really needs to be extended so that it can be properly considered by the community, commented, discussed, and an appropriate project plan that's really part of a community project plan be brought forward? I think it's overwhelmingly the case, so we will bring that back. All right, next comment. Any comment from the panel here that you want to make? Steve? Any comment? Andrew? Kim? Tell us how your project is going.
Well, one of the tangible things we've actually started on, as shown on the timeline, is a label generation rule set tool. And the way that project has commenced is initial drafts of an approach to XML-based representation of IDN tables. How this will play into this project is obviously yet to be determined, but we suspect that whichever solution for variance reaches the finish line, so to speak, there'll need to be some form of ability to take code point sets, variant sets, and compute them into candidate streams. We've also received independently a lot of feedback that the current approach ICANN takes to IDN tables will be more beneficial if it's in a consistent machine-readable format. So recognizing the benefit of this, we've started some initial work on this. There's already an IETF internet draft published, as well as some sample code, and also a conversion of most of the existing IDN tables in existence to this proposed new format to stimulate discussion. So that internet draft is out there right now. We certainly welcome feedback and participation. And also, I know I've spoken to a number of TLD registries that are here this week, and had some very useful dialogue about how they use IDM tables, how they could benefit from this format, and that input will feed back into future revisions. So I'm certainly very interested in feedback on that technical specification and anything we can do on that particular element to help support usage of IDM tables more generally. Obviously, for this project, it's about the root zone, but I think the application of that specification is more universal than that. So we're very willing to hear feedback on that.
Thank you, Kim. Comment, question?
This is a question. It's a new question. It's not referring back to what Kim was just saying, so I should really let anybody who wants to...
Please go ahead. We're very close to time, so please go ahead.
Yes, okay. Right, well, I mean, what we've had this morning, I mean, you just feel as if you're between a rock and a hard place because you've got the really solid technical arguments on the one side, you've got passionate arguments coming from largely from the Chinese community, but, you know, it could also have been from one of the other really big communities like the Russian community or the Arabic community, perhaps. And so... we are in a very, very difficult position here, and what I'm going to suggest is a British compromise and say that actually what we might want to do, we know the Chinese community is extremely articulate. They are obviously very frustrated, so, you know, this is a community we really need to prioritise. I think probably the Arabic and Russian communities are likewise, because these are communities with huge numbers of users, possibly the Devanagari community as well. And we really do need to be looking at particularly solutions for those languages, because I think that will really take a lot of the heat out of this. Now, fortunately, the problems that these various scripts present are very different. So I won't go back into the Chinese issues because I think that's already been very well articulated by the Chinese community. The Arabic issues came up briefly because we had this mention of positionality. So Arabic is a script where, basically the same letter has about four different forms depending where it comes up in the word. It's also got lots of possible problems of visual similarity because there aren't actually very many letters in Arabic, but depending where you put dots, then you will make the difference between a T and a B and this sort of thing. So that has a different set of problems. And then Russian, yet again, has very, very different issues, probably major visual similarity issues with the Latin alphabet. For example, there is now an application for .dot Moskva. I don't know whether that will be successful or not. That's the Russian capital, Moscow. And, of course, it just so happens that the letters for Moskva are exactly the same as Mokba. So we are no longer dealing with a theoretical overlap problem. We've actually got a real overlap problem there. So what I'm saying is that perhaps we could do worse than prioritizing those really big languages. So if we can make progress with them. I mean, it doesn't mean that we're not listening to the smaller languages, and there may even be a case for talking to the Hebrew community and the Thai community particularly. But perhaps that could be some kind of a way of reducing the heat here.
Thank you very much indeed for that helpful comment, which we'll take on board and see if we can. I mean, that's the message is coming fairly clearly, and we are going to have to try and consider whether there's any way that we can accommodate to some of the pleas and the passionate pleas that have been made by some of the community.
I mean, presuming this sort of an approach were taken, it would mean that we would be particularly interested in any problems that are not thrown up by those majorly different scripts. I mean, there may well be some, so we're not saying there aren't, and those are the things we now want to hear, if we would go ahead with that sort of approach.
Thank you. Back to the team. Karen, any comment? Nayela? Francisco? Any comment? Right, we're 1 minute from time. I think I'd like to emphasize how much we appreciate the input from the community. So I'm going to ask the team up here on behalf of ICANN to applaud you as representatives of the community. Team. Thank you very much. The session is over.